But one of the things that I found as a woman in business, which is a predominant, there's a lot of women running marketing agencies, but there's very few women running marketing agencies at scalability, right? So competing with the bigger dogs and all that kind of stuff. A lot of that is, without kind of picking any names, kind of middle class white men. I've found that putting out content as a woman that is challenger, that is calling out bullshit, that is probably a little bit not predictable from what they think that I should be. I don't fit in the box that everyone wants me to be in. I get a lot of hate for it, particularly on LinkedIn. I get a lot of predominantly men that are not happy that a woman has that kind of opinion. I know it's to do with gender because I've got many, many colleagues who work in a similar space. They have way more opinions than me, but they don't get the same response. So how have you managed that as a female running a business that's predominantly male owned, right? There's a couple of players in your space that are women running businesses, but how do you operate? How do you deal with those instances where you may have felt like gender had a part to play?
Is what are you talking about in terms of since I started my business?
In any area of your career, how have you handled that?
I think, you know, since I started my business, I only really saw it at the beginning. And I do believe it's how you allow that to affect you is how that kind of transpires. So for me, I don't look at myself as a female entrepreneur. I'm just an entrepreneur. And if my gender is something that causes issues or people think like, you know, a certain way, then that's their issue. And I think at the beginning, I was really sensitive to it. And I would hear things being said and I'd be like, oh, but I still get it now. Like men owned companies have stolen bits and ideas of I've done, or, you know, I've recently seen some of my branding looks like it's been like, you know, moved. And I think though, I like this quote and it sounds a little bit, you know, cringy, but Coco Chanel said, if you want to be authentic, you have to be prepared to be copied. And I think it just makes myself feel better. It means that I'm disrupting an industry and it means that these men are actually intimidated by me because otherwise there was no reason to behave a certain way or I've never cared about anyone's gender. And if anything, I would actually say my age is the biggest thing that I see in terms of like people ask to speak to my boss or like how long have you worked with the company? Well, I guess from the beginning, but I don't know. You know, like... But I think you have to own your own business, you have to have a strong personality anyway. And my deflection is like, I just make a joke of it. But I know it can affect other people. But, you know, for me, I don't really care what, you know, what a man has to say about me. I've never cared, you know, what a man has to say about me. I would probably be a different woman if I did. So, you know, being an outspoken woman is actually one of the most powerful things you can be. Let a man hate because they can never be you. That's what I think. And they're jealous they're not young anymore, so.
So you said a minute ago that you dropped out of university. Why?
Be careful what I said. I had an argument with my placement. Essentially, I was the first person in 25 years to be sacked from my placement on my course. I'm not going to divulge why, because I very much disagree with the decision. But if at the time, I remember I literally was crying in the middle of Manchester on the phone to my dad, like, dad, you know, and my dad always taught me, you know, a situation doesn't really define you. It's how you handle it. That's what defines you. And, you know, what felt like the end of my world actually was the beginning, because I literally became like the hardest working person I know. Like I was on Instagram every day trying to find a job. Worked at 66 and then, you know, I started my company whilst at 66 and did 6 months. I was Harley Brash's manager for 6 months, which came straight off the Villa whilst working a full-time job. And I'd have to run to the toilet. And I remember my boss was like, do you have like a bladder problem? I was like, yeah, I do. You know, if you want it hard enough, you'll work every hour under the sun. And I think you couldn't own a business unless you're willing to sacrifice parts of your life in order to get there.
I think that's so true. One of the things that I find, I struggle with this concept of hustle culture, because I understand why people are potentially feel bad about it or feel negative towards it or are worried about their mental health and the implications that overworking potentially has on it. However, I feel like we're living in a generation right now that is worried about hard work. That it's like, it's almost like we've glamorized not working hard.
So you're so right. Sorry to interrupt. I do that a lot. But I actually said this to someone the other day, that if I'm not posting that I'm going to a meeting, I feel like I'm not working hard. Mm. It's like with the Instagram bubble where you have to almost prove that you're busy in order for people to feel like they're validated. And it's actually very, it winds me up because actually I've got no time to take pictures. Like yesterday I did like my quarterly budget, but you know, I'm not gonna put that on Instagram. You know, you don't put on Instagram when you're crying because you're like, God, this is just so intense. And I've spoken to so many different, well, mostly women in business, because that's, you know, who I relate to. But, you know, I feel like we've all kind of gone through the same sort of emotional mixes. But social media, you don't want to show people that side of you where, you know, you don't feel strong and you feel like you are out of your depth. And it's because of, I do think hustle culture is a massive part of that. It's influencers who have businesses and say making that is really easy. And it's, you know, it's not. When you're building something from the ground up and you're trying to, you know, you're trying to disrupt industry, you're scaling, you're looking at your finances. You know, we grew so quickly in 2 years that I didn't actually have enough staff by the time, you know, it got to that point. And I was going into panic mode. And as a result, I actually ended up hiring like someone who didn't fit that role. And that became actually a costly lesson. And, you know, I take everything very personally, which I do think is one of my biggest downfalls and biggest benefits. But as a result, I lost money. So it's almost, you have to almost plan as if you're going to be humongous, because I didn't think that, to my own, like, I guess, downfall. You know, I ended up going down this weird route of like chaos. I've actually moved offices twice, and that is also chaotic. Don't recommend. Stick to your lease.